Please be seated. Hallelujah. You can open up your Bibles to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. I have a question for you while you're going there. Are you living in the overflow of the promise of abundant life? Well, no answer. I guess that means we're on the right track this morning. Overflow means the excess or surplus not able to be accommodated by an available space. Psalm 78, verse 18. We're going to start reading there. And they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed." They overflowed. "Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people?" Verse 21, "Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel." Verse 22, "Because they did not believe in God, and they did not trust in his salvation, his saving power." So critical, right there, that we are trusting in the God that we believe is able to do all things. So now open up, or change, you're opened up there to 23, Psalm 23. Remember, we're talking about overflow here. Psalm 23. And I know you all think this is read at funerals, but that's not what it's for. That's not what it's for. Are you ready? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs overflowing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That there is a decree we should all be making. So why not? Let's do that. I decree goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, ready? Forever. Amen and amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The shepherd was there to supply for all the needs of the sheep. They didn't have to look anywhere else. The shepherd did the providing. Our good shepherd, Jesus, supplies for all of our needs as well. How can I say that? Well, the Word tells us that. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look to verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's our good shepherd. Verse 2. Of Psalm 23. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. See, any disturbance or intruder scares sheep. They are very fearful animals and can't lie down unless they feel totally secure. Can we relate to that? Oh, yeah, we can. That's why he looks at us as his sheep. Now, green pastures here expresses a view of the abundant care God gives to us. And God's provision of still waters provides a soothing and calmness to quiet. Because the sheep are very fearful. Now, I'm not saying that we're all fearful. But if you were here on Wednesday when we had prayer, which is essential, our brother got something from the Lord to read about fear. But he prayed it for the congregation here. Because he knows what fear is doing to us. We live in a world that brings fear and intimidation continually upon us. Because that's how Satan operates. He operates on fear. But our God operates on the faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen to that, yes, sir. When we allow our shepherd to guide us, we have contentment. Did you not say contentment today? Contentment means happiness. Happiness. We can do our happy dance. Happiness. When we choose to sin, however, we go our own way and cannot blame God for the environment we create for ourselves. But we do. But we do. We don't look at ourselves like, God, why'd you let this happen? And I can see him going, have I not told them they can have what they say? Oh, hallelujah. You know, but he doesn't do that. He's there for us. May take a little longer to get through what we're going through. He knows the green pastures and quiet waters that will comfort and restore us. We will reach these places only by following him. I know it's a word nobody likes. Obediently. Why do we resist the word obedience? Obedience. Rebelling against the shepherd's leading is actually rebelling against our own best interests. We must remember this the next time we are tempted to go our own way rather than the shepherd's way. He restores, number 3, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. God refreshes us with his quiet voice and his gentle touch. For this reason, the sheep know the shepherd and are known by him. You ever notice when you reach out to the good shepherd, calling on his name, Jesus? All of a sudden, you get this quietness and you get this calmness that comes upon you. There's power in that name. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus was declaring that he had other sheep among the despised heathens. The other sheep were the Gentiles. And he's saying there would be one flock. See, it was the anticipation of salvation of the Gentiles and the formation of the church. The called out ones, that's us, in which converted Jews and Gentiles would be one spiritual body. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, Paul writes, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. One flock. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 13 and 14. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. We are one flock. We are one flock together with one good shepherd who is protecting and leading us. Excuse me. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, he restores and he leads. And for his name's sake, that is his very nature or his character, who he is. And he never changes. For he said, I am the Lord and I do not change. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Say that right there. I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The valley of the shadow of death can refer to any distressing time in our lives. And boy, are we ever in distressing times right now. Am I right? Hey, that's Frank, isn't it? Sitting there. Yeah. How you doing, sir? Welcome from the south. Hallelujah. Must be up here seeing Mom. Awesome. The awareness of our own mortality often comes with sickness, trials, and hardships. But the Lord, our protector, can lead us through these dark and difficult valleys. Yeah, to eternal life with Him. There is no need to fear death. No, death has no power. Its sting is not there. The Good Shepherd is with us no matter what we are facing, even in what seem difficult and troubling situations. Ancient shepherds used the rod and staff to rescue, protect, and guide the sheep. The rod and staff became symbols of the Good Shepherd's loving care over His flock. We as His sheep are not alone. Has He Himself not said, "I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." Whew! I don't know about you, but every time I read that scripture, it sends shivers through me. Now, when He's there with me, no matter what, even when I go astray, He's still with me. And that's when He puts the hook out and, "Come on, come on back." He doesn't beat me with the hook. It's a gentle pull. But you don't want to do it. You don't want to abuse one sheep, because when you abuse one sheep, there's a whole bunch of others that are going to scatter. Hey, we ain't going to trust Him. What's good about Him? Don't beat the sheep. Hallelujah. Our Good Shepherd is standing over us to protect us and guide us to safety. Always. Always. Okay, verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Say, "My cup overflows." God's provision is so extravagant, it's as though He is preparing a banquet just for you. When it comes to the anointing of the head, when you anoint the head of a guest at the banquet, was typically for the honored guest. We are His honored guest. That is awesome. Whoo! He prepares a banquet. Not a happy meal. I said a banquet. And He fills our cup to overflowing, filling our life with the very best of everything He has promised us in His Word. Are you living in the promise of the overflow? His supernatural abundance. Is it overflowing with God's provisions of abundance in all things for your life? Overflow, in essence, means running over. You know, and I was going to do this. I was going to get us a little baby pool and put it up here. And I was going to take this stand and put it right in the middle of it. And I was going to put a glass there. And then I thought, no. I needed one of the big mugs. And then take a pitcher and fill that in front of you. So you're filling that up. And then it's at the top and it starts overflowing. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. But you notice what He said, because He brought that to my mind. He says, "You don't sell with a cup. Get yourself a mug. Think big when it comes to God. Why do we sell ourselves so short? Oh, I'm just going to be humble. I'm not going to ask for the best." He wants you to ask for the best. He wants to give you the best. He already proved it. He gave us His Son. He gave us His best. He will fill our mugs to overflowing. I like that. Hallelujah. Every believer is supposed to enjoy the running over. Running over abundance of God's grace, mercy, and peace. Running over means we have more than enough for our needs. Our God's name is El Shaddai, and it means God Almighty, all-sufficient God, the God of more than enough. He gives us blessings upon blessings upon blessings because he has more than enough. When we give to God in our tithes and offerings, then he can give back to us, because you cannot outgive God. That's the whole thing. He is the God who is more than enough. And he said, I will supply all of your needs. What a good shepherd he is. There's a song that the group's going to be working on soon. Living in the Overflow by Charity Gale. Bless the Lord, O my soul, I'm living in the overflow. Living in the overflow, covered by your love. Moving with the Holy Ghost, you're more than enough. I'm living in the overflow. Walking in your freedom now, covered by your grace. Witnessing your healing power, we have been changed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, I'm living in the overflow. Let that be your declaration, right? Okay, let's make that declaration. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm living in the overflow. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm living in the overflow. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I am living in the overflow. Amen. Hallelujah. Whoo, Jesus. Hallelujah. Makes you alive, doesn't it? And you say it three times. Three is, seems to be a key number with God. He likes repetition. He likes you to repeat it. Because the more you repeat it, the more you believe it. That goes with the positive and the negative. So quit speaking the negative and speak the positive, okay? That's all I got to tell you. Well, you don't know how I feel. Well, you don't know how I feel, but I know what I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak the positive. I'm going to speak long life and life worth living. I'm going to speak the word of God, which says I'm healed. I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Through every extremity in my body, I have strength. My circulatory system is functioning and operating properly. No blockages whatsoever. The blood flows freely through all my arteries, veins, and capillaries, feeding every part of my body, keeping my muscles, ligaments, and tendons strong. Hallelujah. My bone structure is made of iron and bronze, is what the word says. That's what our bones are made out of. Hallelujah. Not osteoporosis. You know, they come up with all these names. But we're going to take the one name that's above all those names. And that's the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm having a good time this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a good time when you're in the Word. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. This is a prayer that Paul said for the Ephesians. But it's also for us. It is also for us. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, grounded in what? Yeah, make sure you heard that. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, passes all the understanding that we have. That gives us peace. Passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We are His family. His family includes all who believed in Him in the past, all who believe in Him in the present, and all who will believe in Him in the future. We are family because we have one Father. We have one Father. So when we say we are family. You and I are family together. And God is the Father. God is Daddy. Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let that revelation fill them, Lord God. God promises His love and power to His family, the church. He says the ecclesia. It's not a church building, it's the ecclesia. It's the called out ones. Each and every one of us are called out ones. We are the born again ones. Verse 16 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Now, we heard that before, did we not? According to the riches of His glory. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. To be strengthened. And how? By Holy Spirit. See, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Our inner man, our spirit man, is strengthened by His Holy Spirit that is living on the inside of us. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through what? Faith. How much faith would it take? That's right. I still got mine right here. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul is saying God's love is total. It reaches every corner of our experience. It is wide. It covers the breadth of our experience and it reaches out to the whole world. God's love is long. It continues the length of our lives. It rises to the heights of our celebration and our excitement. His love is deep. It reaches to the depths of discouragement, despair, and yes, even death. When we feel shut out and isolated, remember that we can never be lost to God's love. God's love is immeasurable and it is inexhaustible. We're going to go to Romans 8, 38 and 39. But I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Classic. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending or threatening, or things to come, nor powers, Satan and all his unseen forces. Nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul exclaims that it is impossible to be separated from Christ. What then can separate us from God's love? What can separate us from God's love? That's better. Know that in your heart. So what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
You better believe it. For God is love. Never lose sight of that. God is love. His love is agape love. Unconditional love, he has for us. Unconditional. And it says to be filled with all the fullness of God. The fullness of God is expressed only in Christ. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Let that sink in for a second. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. He is the head of every power and authority. In our union with Christ, and through His empowering Spirit, we are complete. We have all the fullness of God available to us. But we must appropriate that fullness through faith and through prayer. And daily live for Him. It's important to have faith. When you have faith and you pray, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have. We can ask Holy Spirit to fill us in every aspect of our lives to its fullest, till it's overflowing. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly all that we ask of or think according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's eternity, ever and ever and ever. We're headed there, but don't be in a hurry because He's got work for each and every one of us to do. Well, these two verses form a doxology. Liturgical. It is a liturgical formula of praise to God in which Paul points out God can do exceedingly abundantly above all or anything we ask. Neither God's love nor His power is limited by our human imagination. You know, you can imagine quite a bit. Go beyond that. Then you start to say, I don't know, I can go that far. Yeah. You can. Don't limit God. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So let's read them scriptures again. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of God, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That works in us. That works in us. To Him be glory in the church, the called out ones by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. He can do exceedingly and abundantly all that we ask. What do we got to do? Simply believe. Above all, though, that sounds like filling our cups to overflowing with His love, mercy, grace, and blessings. Are you living the abundant life in the overflow? We should be. In John 10:10, what did Jesus say? I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So what He is simply saying, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. More abundantly means to have a super abundance of a thing. Abundant life refers to a life in its abounding fullness of joy, strength for spirit, soul, and body. I don't know about you, but I'm choosing to live in the overflow. And if you're living in the overflow, it means your cup's never going to go empty. See, with God, it will not go empty. Don't shut off the flow. Don't shut off the flow. So say that. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
I'm living in the overflow.
I'm living in the overflow.
Amen. Thank you. And that's where we're going to end. And Roy's got a song for you. I like that. That man had to get up and put his Bible down before he could do anything.